Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, great to have you back here. It is the Valley of the Sun and a little Valley of the Overcast today, as we've got the Giants coming up against the Angels in a split squad game. We bring in our good friend Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Good Sunday morning, Marty.
Yeah, it's Saturday. Come on, you're a day ahead of yourself.
Actually, I was going to say Thursday. I still
got it
wrong.
What's the difference? You know, the truth of the matter, I swear, the truth of the matter is when you're down here in spring training, you lose track. You lose track. You don't even know what month it is.
That happened to me when I was down there a couple times, so don't spread the word.
Yeah, very good. Well, I've had an interesting week, and it's been very interesting because Barry Bonds is down here. And, Bruce, he is in such a talkative mood. It's like someone has put a magic wand over him. And he sits in the – you know the deal. You know, you sit in the dugout with a few people, and all of a sudden you start talking. And Felipe Alou was down there talking with him today, Javi Lopez and Andy Baggerly and myself. But, Bruce, he knows so much about hitting. And he's so personable when he wants to do that and relate to people. That, I swear to you, it made me feel like I was sitting with Ted Williams. You know, you read the Ted Williams books about the science of hitting. This guy has every pitch, every at-bat, Jesse Orosco and Gagne, and he just is nonstop. If he could do this all the time, he would be sitting in Cooperstown.
Well, yeah, well, that's a complicated issue. I mean, the steroid thing is probably the main reason he's not there. But... There are two sides of him. You know, as a player, he was relentlessly, he basically shut off everything that wasn't directly related to him on game day, which always included the media, and then a lot of the teammates felt like they didn't really get to know him either. That's what fueled him. He was an angry man when he played, but also an absolutely brilliant player. And if he starts talking hitting, you want to be there. I can understand why he drew a crowd today. It's a great Dwayne Kuiper story. They're flying to Atlanta one year, and they're going to face Maddox that night. And Bonds laid out the entire at-bat, the first seven pitches he was going to get from Maddox.
Really?
And it unfolded exactly that way. I mean, there's so many stories. Great, great hitters like Tony Gwynn just in awe of Bonds' knowledge about hitting. And he is a way more personable guy now that he's retired. And he's like that, I think, most of the time, at least from what people see of him in public. And I don't know if that's going to help his cause in Cooperstown or not, but... He's the modern-day Ted Williams when it comes to the knowledge of hitting, the science of it, the details, just the everything about it. And, you know, people, you know, they think of him for two things. They think of him as a really, irritable, arrogant sort and a guy who did performance-enhancing drugs. But there's a lot more to his career, and it doesn't take long to spend time around him to realize the depth of his knowledge.
No, you said it very well, and I've sat around him many times talking hitting and listening to people talk hitting. I don't think I've ever heard it dissected mm-hmm. the way he did. And he said, look, if you look up my career, the second pitch is the one I generally hit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they got a strike on me, they try to get ahead and get me 0-2, and that second pitch was the one the science that he dissected was just incredible. And he said to Dwight Gooden, said I used to rake against him, and he said, why? Because he would talk, you know, trash to him.
Yeah,
he would say, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to do this, and Gooden would get so upset that he would throw the curveball because Bonds said he had the greatest curveball, and he'd bounce a couple of curveballs, and then he'd have to come with a fastball, and Bonds go boom, and it would be gone.
Yeah, and he never left the batter's box. You know, none of this nonsense with the wristbands and the thinking it over and timeout. That's all crap to him. He got in there to stay, and you had to deal with him. And he had the most rigid strike zone of his time or any time. If it wasn't a strike, he didn't go for it. And there's so many great stories about Bonds. You talk about There's always been talk about him becoming a hitting coach, and he was for Miami. That's not really his thing, you know, getting on airplanes and the hotels and the grind. That's too much. But to me, every young hitter or every hitter, period, should try to spend an hour with Bonds in spring training or at any time during the season. You know, ideally with Bonds having seen a few tapes of the guy at the plate, and talk about how he can improve, because I guarantee you Bonds would help him.
Yeah, I don't know technically what kind of a coach he is, and we've heard some things. Crawford said a couple of things that he helped him with. But I will tell you this, for the understanding the sequence of how someone would work to you and what the pitch was going to be, I've never heard anyone like this before. And I bring it up because, you know, you humanize him, and all of a sudden he doesn't look that like that demon, you know, with the steroid issues and all that. All of a sudden you realize, steroids, no steroids, there's no one like this guy. And that's what it hit me today.
To me, you know, coming from, you know, being of a certain age, you know, my guys, my all-time idols in baseball were always Aaron and Clemente and Frank Robinson and, of course, Mays, Al Kaline and that group. And I never really put anyone in that category until I saw, a lot of Bonds over the years. And to me, he was absolutely in that class, that highest of the high, the elite class as a hitter, as a thinker of the game. Great defensive player as well. And I think he's recognized that way, but there's so many complications. I do think he'll get into the Hall of Fame one day, but I think it's still many years off.
Yeah.
Some kind of committee.
I know. But my point with him is, if he would talk to, you know, the writers in New York like this and talk to, you know, in baseball like this, people would understand.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my point. But it was fascinating.
That is a good point. I mean, so many writers remember him as this irritable, cranky guy, and you held him, you know, and that he can be the happiest guy on earth these days.
Well, I just started him talking about it, and he knows and remembers every pitch. I mean, Javi Lopez is there, and he said, and Bonds walks in and says, "Boy, I wish you were pitching today. I'd add to my home run total." And Javi goes, "You were 3-for-8 off me. Come on, and you never hit a home run." And, you know, and here we go. You know, it goes from there. So it was pretty good. It was a good spring training moment. Moustakas, I want to just bring up what's going on with the players and, you know, turning down these major deals, and all of a sudden now people are signing for 1-year deals. And I tried to explain this yesterday to some people. You know, the world is different today. And not getting into political issues, but with tariffs and, you know, all the different things that are going on in the trade of the world, baseball reacts as well. And all of a sudden now, whether it's analytics or for whatever reason, baseball is making a financial change for these mid-range free agents, and Moustakas was the latest one.
Well, this is a guy, what, he hit 38 homers?
38.
And he's
that's
a gamer.
Wally Burger.
He can play third.
That's Wally Burger territory.
That's exactly Wally Burger. I mean, the qualifying offer to me is the most interesting aspect, and it's a little disturbing. You know, as a free agent, you get a qualifying offer from your existing team, and the guy, most guys who have a lot of value, and Moustakas has a hell of a lot of value, you know, we'll turn that down and see what the market bears. Well, he turned down around $17 million, and he wound up signing for around 5 or 6. And the reason for that is because teams, if you sign a player who turned down a qualifying offer, you have to give up draft picks and international signing money, which I don't get. I don't get that. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. I mean, it's all about parity and this and that. But to me, if you're a free agent, you should be able to sign with anybody with no restrictions whatsoever. I don't care who it is. The top teams, the bottom teams, you'll make your choice. But that hurt him. It hurt Lorenzo Cain. And you got guys out there who still haven't signed.
No, you got Arrieta out there,
and
Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn and people like that. Henry Schulman is joining us, Bruce, on the line with you. Henry, you're talking to your colleague.
Yeah, Bruce, I'm glad.
I'm opening for Henry. Henry's the opening act.
I'm glad we're
Troubadour who opens for Henry.
I'm glad we're chatting here. I wanted to let you know you left 3 surfboards and a case of longboard in the condo. If you want me to bring it home, I will.
Yeah, I did bring home the case of scotch, so...
Henry, I'll let Henry start this part of the discussion, but what I'm talking about with Moustakas and the players and the change in the game, do you see it the same way, that all of a sudden these middle-range free agents are getting caught, like the world is changing around them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's obvious what's happened this year. I do think that it's – I don't think we have a sea change here. I think it's going to be different next year because, I mean, I think everybody really did want to get under the salary cap level or the luxury tax level. Because people are just, teams are just tired of paying, the big market teams are tired of paying 50% on extra for some of these high-priced free agents. And, I mean, next year, I think there's going to be more play in the free agent market. For one thing, and this is very kind of not talked about a lot, but the luxury tax limit is actually going to be raised significantly next year from $197 million to $206 million. So you have all these teams who didn't spend this year who will have this extra money next year, and the cap is going up. Now, I don't think you can deny that because of the Cubs and Astros, the way they won the World Series without having to dive into the free agent market and give these contracts, and I think teams seeing that they really don't want to give out these long-term deals where they know they're going to have dead money at the end, is going to have some effect. I don't think you're going to see the Jake Arriettas and Mike Moustakas of the world next year not signed until opening day or just before opening day. I think it will be a little different.
Bruce, isn't it amazing that Arrieta is still out there? I mean, I realize 34, yeah. Velocity is down, but come on, if you're a team on the cusp of winning, why wouldn't you want this guy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but like Henry said, the dread over a really long-term contract is real and justifiable. I mean, what, would Hosmer sign for 7 years with San Diego, was it?
Well, it's 8 years, but I mean, he has plenty of opt-outs and all that. And, you know, I think the players right now want to protect themselves against the market changing. So in his contract, Hosmer's contract is interesting because it actually is more of a bell curve, which is the way contracts really ought to be if you think about it. Contracts should actually go up in the first couple of years when these guys are still at a decent age, and then go down at the end. And they really haven't. There really haven't been contracts like that. I mean, teams usually have more money later, and players don't want to go into free agency next time coming off less money, so you haven't seen it. That's an interesting thing. I can't wait to see next year if the Hosmer contract really sets a precedent for teams that say, look, we'll give you 5 or 6 years, but we'll give you more money in the third and fourth year, and then in the fifth and sixth year, we're going to pay you a lot less because you're not going to be as good. And I would really like to see next year if we're going to see more contracts like that.
Boy, be interesting. Henry Schulman with us of the Chronicle, and Bruce Jenkins as well. Bruce, it's three guys at Original Joe's now talking ball at the counter.
Yeah, the window is clean from what I can see.
All right, we got Henry
mosaic,
with us.
If you will.
We got Henry with us. Come on, I had Wally Berger. That was a good one.
We had Wally Moon the week before, I think, doing well here.
Really? The next will be Wally Westlake.
I'm too young to know who any you're talking about.
Well, Wally Westlake is still with us. He lives in Sacramento, believe it or not.
He started Joseph Westlake, didn't he?
No, that wasn't original Joseph.
Okay, that was somebody else.
All right. Hey, all of a sudden people are getting very nervous about Ohtani, Bruce. You know, he got whacked around by, I don't know, the Toros?
By the Toros.
Yeah. You know,
that's never a good thing on the resume.
No, they're getting, you know, and people are, Jeff Passan, and people are writing he's not ready as a pitcher, he's not ready as a hitter. What do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, you know, who knows how this guy, you know, likes to prepare himself. You know, he hasn't played in America. He pitched, once a week in Japan. He wasn't facing, you know, the likes of Kershaw over there very often, and he's a few doses of reality, but I mean, it's a little early to write him off. I mean, the guy, he's got a lot of pitches. From what they say, his fastball is very straight, which is never a good sign, even if you're throwing 99. He's got a lot of breaking pitches. He looks good as a hitter. Just to watch him hit in BP, he's got a sound approach. The ball is loud, and he hits the ball for power. Who knows? I mean, the Angels are going to try to play him both ways, unless they just completely write him off as a hitter over the next 2 weeks, which I doubt. I mean, they got some tickets to sell, and he's going to be fun to watch. So, I mean, I think the regular season is going to tell, because it's not like they're not going to put him in the rotation. It's not like they're not going to let him be a DH. So we'll see. But you know, the early signs are that it's been a little bit of an awakening for him.
Yeah, what do you think, Henry?
Well, I think that early on, if I were the Angels, I would just not. I would not play him in the field at all. I wouldn't let him hit at all. Right now, I mean, his value to the major league team and value to himself monetarily down the road is going to be as a pitcher in the major leagues. He's mm-hmm. not going to hit here like he hit in Japan for the reasons that Bruce said. And I just think it would take a little bit of pressure off him right now if he just concentrated on being a member of the Angels rotation right now. And they're bending over backwards for him. I mean, they may go to a six-man rotation just so he can pitch once a week like he did in Japan. Let him get his legs underneath him as a pitcher, and then slowly down the road sort of introduce him, you know, as a hitter. Maybe once he's gotten some success pitching in the major leagues, you know, not in spring training necessarily, but during the regular season, then bring that other part of the game in there. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, there's also the matter of Albert Pujols, who's back with the Angels right. and feeling better than he has and wants to play some first base. But, you know that he's going to be doing some DHing. I don't see his legs and feet holding up over 162. And that's a much more logical option to DH. And the guy's a legend, and he still has something left. So, you know, the idea of Ohtani being a twice-a-week DH, you know, it's tough to keep a hitting rhythm when you're doing that. So, yeah, I agree. I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, Henry. Yeah. Just let him pitch right. You know, you don't have to teach 97. You know, you just got to get the delivery down and just let him throw.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. All right, let's talk a little bit with you guys about Hunter Pence. And, Bruce, we'll start with you. The veteran trying to, you know, get in shape in spring training. We've seen Cueto do it. He gets in shape down here. Pence allegedly comes in shape, but the bat is not connecting. He's 1-for-15. There are other players, as Henry pointed out yesterday, that start off 0-for-15 in the Cactus League. Nobody worries about it. But there is some concern about Pence, Bruce.
Well, yeah, justifiably so. You know, he wasn't the same last year. He was a cakewalk out for right-hand pitchers with good low and away stuff. He's lunging at the ball and just looking a little bit off. And, you know, I think his body is banged up from years of, you know, the way he plays is why everybody loves him. He plays so hard. And I think the it's not a young body anymore. And, you know, I didn't see much of Pence. In fact, I didn't see him at all. I wasn't down there for very long, and he wasn't playing. That was right if they started the games. Henry's seen a lot more of him. But I've sensed a little bit of skepticism in Henry's, you know, comments about him. And it's justifiably so. I mean, you have to wonder what he's got left. You know, maybe he comes out of the gate and looks like the old Pence, but I think there's definitely a reason for some concern there.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a reason that the Giants went out and got Austin Jackson, not just to play center field. I mean, they said when they got Austin Jackson that he's going to be a guy who moves around the outfield. You know, I mean, Pence is a great example of what we were talking about earlier with the contracts. I mean, the way it has worked forever And by forever, I mean in the last 20, 30 years. I mean, you sign these guys to long-term contracts because that's what you need to get them to stay. And you know there's going to be they're not going to be worth the money at the end. And, you know, we are seeing a guy who's going to be 35 years old who, like Bruce said, I mean, he's been a wall-crashing 120% energy kind of guy. And, you know, the things that he might have been able to get away with at the plate or in the field when he was younger might not be working now. Now, they have a lot of options in the outfield, younger-wise. I don't think, you know, Marty and I have been arguing about this for a year now. I don't think they're going to start Duggar in the majors. They could, if they did, if they started him in the majors to start the season, they could shift Jackson over to left field. You know, this is a team that, you know, just like in football, how the quarterback has his progressions. Well, the Giants are a team that has its progressions, and they're going to err on the side of giving the veterans a chance at the beginning. And you know what? There are a lot of hitters this spring who are slow. A lot of veteran hitters, if you look at the batting averages, I mean, the kids are doing great. The veteran hitters, after coming to camp and only getting like 3 or 4 days of live BP, you know, are slow. And, I mean, I realize Nelson Cruz and Hunter Pence are apples and oranges at this point because, you know, Cruz is at a better place in his career. But the amount of panic I'm seeing from the fans about Pence and just sort of the sort of angst about him is really not warranted this early in the season. Now, if they get to, you know, a couple of days before the opener, they're playing those Bay Bridge games, and Hunter Pence is still hitting in the 100 range, then, you know, they've got some decisions to make. I just had this fantasy this morning that I'll tweet on opening day, you know, Madison Bumgarner throws no-hitter, beats Kershaw in season opener, and then all my mentions will be, oh, geez, Pence went 0-for-3. For God's sakes. You know, what are they going to do about left field?
I think you're going to have what Duggar did, you know, at AAA in your notes every day, you know, because people are going to be watching him pretty closely.
Well, if Duggar makes a team, Henry washes my car for a year, so I'm excited. I'm excited
who
about
you,
that.
Jeff Kent?
He ain't lying. Yeah, you don't have an 11-foot-tall truck,
no,
do you?
I don't. I don't have.
I can't get up there like I used to.
It's the old Gene Tennis story with Charlie Finley. Gene Tennis made a contract deal with Finley, and part of it was that Finley would pay for dog food for Tennis's dog for a year. And at the end of it, he says, by the way, what kind of dog you got? And he says, a Great Dane. No, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Later it turned out the dog food was for Gene, not the dog.
Right. All right. Hey, Bruce, great to have you with us. We'll be back with you. You'll be back with us tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Have a good afternoon. Henry, thank you so much for coming by.
All right. You bet.
All right. That is Henry Schulman of the Chronicle, Bruce Jacobs of the Chronicle as well, colleagues. And, Henry, before you go, you did write a little note about Cepeda today, which was very much appreciated.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I was so heartened when I was back. I was back home, actually, when I read your note that you actually had a conversation with him. I mean, none of us thought that he was ever going to progress to that level from the things we were hearing. And, you know, I wanted to mention in there that it was the day that the legends talked to the players. Cepeda was acknowledged in the clubhouse yesterday when Mays, McCovey, and Bond spoke. And, you know, I just wanted to throw a plug in for the Panama hat thing that the daily tribute that you're sending the pictures to Orlando, and he's getting a kick out of them. And, I mean, that's just wonderful news. And honestly, I think that none of us can wait to see him.
Yeah, me too. Henry, thank you so much.
All right.
That is Henry Schulman of the Chronicle. More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.